pray with you. Yes. Oh, Lord, we just want to thank you for your amazing faithfulness. Where would we be without you, Lord? And, Lord, we thank you for Simon. We thank you for all that you have deposited into his life, Lord. And we thank you for the word that you've given him, Lord, that you want him to share with us today. Lord, would you just empower him afresh right now, Holy Spirit? And Lord, would he just be filled with you, with righteousness, peace and joy, that as he comes today, that he would just be released with great joy and the authority he has with you, Jesus, Lord, to deliver your message. And Lord, for us, Lord, would you soften our hearts? Would we have soft hearts to hear what you want to speak to us? And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Would you have your way? We give you free rein, Lord, because we want you to come and do what only you can in our hearts today. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, I might need that mic. Oh, we're on? We're on. G'day. Well, good afternoon. My name's Simon. So we've been doing this series over the last couple of weeks about living like Jesus. And To talked to us about why we can live like Jesus. Maria talked to us about how Jesus sees people, how he really sees them, and how we can do the same. and what I want to talk about is Jesus' healing ministry and how we too can pray for healing because Jesus prayed for healing. Because I think if we're going to live like Jesus, we have to take healing seriously. It was a really big part of Jesus' ministry. What I mean by healing, just to define the term, is everything from physical healing, which is obvious, sickness, disease, infirmity, emotional healing, you know, anxiety, depression, all the things that we suffer a lot in this modern age. They're not really new things, but we seem to see them more. Even what you might call sin sickness, you know, sins that we continually struggle with and can't get over. And it can also cover demonic oppression and the need for deliverance. So healing can cover all of those things. And I don't know about you, but I find that when we talk about healing, it can be a bit of a stumbling block sometimes. And I think that's because it relies on power outside of us. Healing is, like Mel alluded to in the communion, healing is very easy to give up on, especially if we've been disappointed, if we've prayed and not seen it. And yet, Jesus said in John that we would do the works that he does, and greater if we believe in him. And Paul also, in his letters, urged us to pursue spiritual gifts, which includes the gift of healing. So what I want to look at today is how Jesus healed and how you can pray for healing just like he did. So I'm going to center on a scripture from Matthew. So you might like to turn there, if you've got your Bible there, Matthew 8, from verse 14. It's just a few verses. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. So just to give this passage a little bit of context, What Matthew is doing here is he's doing this throughout the whole book. He's establishing the kingly rule of Jesus. He's establishing that Jesus is in fact the promised Messiah. And as the promised king, he has authority over sickness, disease, demons, weather, and even death. And we see this right through the early parts of Matthew. And he really builds his case that, yep, this is our king. So, if I could have the... I think that's jumped ahead, Tish. Could we have the first verse that's on there? That's it. Thanks. So, I want to really start with this first bit. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. Now, what I find interesting about this is when we read this in isolation and when we think about Jesus overall, it's very tempting to think that for Jesus, healing was like some kind of superpower, that he contained it and he could, you know, heal at will whoever he wanted, you know, coming in to save the day. Like, you know, Jesus arrives on the scene and, "Don't worry, guys, I've got it. I'll heal you." But I don't think that's quite right. We've got to see, when we see Jesus walking into a room and touching someone with a fever and healing them, we've got to see that in the context of other things that the Bible says about Jesus. You know, we know from John 5:19, that Jesus only did things in relationship with the Father. He says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise.'" So when we hear about Jesus' healing, he's not doing it on his own. He's doing it with his Father. He's seeing what God the Father is doing at the time and partnering with that. Now, being Jesus, he does that perfectly. We don't get to do it perfectly. But it's not about Jesus holding this superpower. It's about Jesus partnering with the power of God. And also in Luke 5:17, it says, "On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal." Did you catch that? The power of the Lord was with him to heal. If Luke's saying that, that implies that sometimes maybe the power of God was not there to heal. Otherwise, you wouldn't bother saying it. And if the power of God was not there to heal, then even Jesus is reliant on the power of God being there by the Spirit. So Jesus walked in dependence on the Father. So I think what's happening here, when Jesus enters Peter's house, I think he's walking in and going, "Father, what do you see here? What are you doing in this place?" And so in that context, he sees Peter's mother-in-law and has confidence that the power of God will heal her as he lays hands on her. So do you see how that changes the healing dynamic for us? If healing is not a superpower, but it's the goodness of God released as we walk in dependence on the Father, then all of a sudden it's accessible to anyone who trusts in God. We had a friend come up for dinner a couple of weeks ago. And this guy has some amazing stories, but the story I want to tell you is the story of him getting saved, which includes healing, which kind of illustrates this point that it's dependence on God for anyone. So this guy had lived through quite a lot of disappointment and hardship. He got called up to Vietnam and served in Vietnam. He, you know, got quite severely traumatized from what he saw there, and also managed to get a bullet lodged in his spine. So had some physical stuff going on as well. And he tells this story of, you know, and out of all that, so he was, out of that, he was suicidal, always in a lot of pain, wasn't really that interested in God, though I think he'd been brought up to know God earlier. Anyway, he ended up in this church meeting and then back at someone's house. And I think he was trying to kind of hide at the back. And a 13-year-old girl came up to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, God's shown me that you have some problems." And he's thinking, "You don't know the half of it. And he wants to heal you." And this 13-year-old girl laid hands on this friend, and he was completely delivered and healed. The pain in his body, which, you know, bullet lodged in the spine is a pretty serious thing, right? The doctors couldn't move it, but it was, God sorted that out. All the emotional trauma was all healed at the same time. Everything got delivered through this faithful prayer of a 13-year-old girl. And so I think if a 13-year-old girl can do that, so can we. Next slide, please. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So the next thing I want to say about healing is that healing is also warfare. You'll see how these things connect together as we go through. Because Matthew puts healing and deliverance together, making them all a part of God's kindness and kingdom being released. Not in this one, but in other passages, there are explicit connections between people having evil spirits and needing physical healing. What this tells us is that praying for healing is a confrontation between the powers of light and darkness. It also gives us a pretty solid indication that, generally speaking, sickness is an enemy and not from God, and we should treat it like an enemy. So doing healing means entering the cosmic battle. Are we willing to do that? But the thing about battles is that they're not always won instantly. So when we, you know, when we read the Gospels and we have that kind of paradigm of, you know, Jesus has the superpower, it kind of stands out that, you know, just about every healing that Jesus does is instant. And we feel like if we had that gift, we should be able to do the same. When we dig a little bit deeper, there are times when the healing wasn't instant, even for Jesus. The one very clear example, there are a couple of others, but the one very clear example is the blind man in Mark 8, where Jesus prays for him. And he says, he checks in, "How are you going?" "Well, I see men like trees." And he says, "Oh, well, let's pray again." So he prays again, and the man's sight is completely restored. So even Jesus can take more than one go to pray for healing. You know, and there's that classic line that if Jesus gets two goes, I get 20 goes. You know, Mel talked about the persistent widow, you know, which speaks of contending for God's will, not giving up, keeping on praying, trusting in the goodness and promises of God. You know, we could also talk about the Syrophoenician woman. I don't know if you remember that story. I didn't put the reference down, but it's, you know, the one where Jesus has gone to the beach, says he's withdrawn. He wants a bit of a break, and this woman comes to him saying, "My daughter is afflicted by a demon. Will you heal her?" And it's that quite, you know, confronting story where Jesus says, at first he says he's silent. He doesn't answer her. And she keeps going back. "Will you heal her? Will you heal her?" And in the end he says to her, you know, "Well, it's not right to give the bread to the dogs," because she was, you know, not of the house of Israel, and it's kind of testing her heart. But she doesn't give up. She keeps coming back and says, you know, says, "Well, even the dogs get the crumbs. I'm, you know, Lord, I'm still here. Will you heal my daughter?" She doesn't give up on Jesus, even though he really tests her by offending her. And think about that moment at the start when he's silent. How often do we pray for God to act and it feels like he is silent? What do we do? Do we give up? Or like the Syrophoenician woman, do we press in? So don't assume as well, I think this is a mistake we make, don't assume that nothing is happening when we don't hear the answer straight away. Remember even Daniel, when this wasn't about healing, but he was praying, and it took 2 weeks for the angel to get through to him with the answer because of the spiritual battle. I was chatting with Ruth the other day, and we were talking about healing, and this isn't a biblical example, but I think it's a useful metaphor to see that sometimes this battle for healing can look like a journey. And if I could have that next slide. So this is a photo from my whiteboard, which I drew up because I'm a visual person, and so is Ruth, so I find this useful. So we start at not healed, and we're trying to get to healed. The thing is, and the journey can, you know, look kind of squiggly. It takes a while. It can take a while to get there. And where I've put the dots, it's kind of like a path with towns along the way. That's the points where people pray for us, or where we seek the Lord. We might, you know, fast. We might, you know, whatever we're doing to seek healing. They're the points. And we feel like at each one we should be all the way there already. The thing is, we don't always know where we are. No, we don't know the end from the beginning. God knows. You know, we might be at the start, but we might be over here. We don't trust to, our ability to pray. We trust in God's goodness and know that there is an end because he's good. We're just not there yet. I don't know if this thing of the praying for healing being a battle gets quite personal. You know, for us, Mel mentioned friends in hospital. You know, we've got a very dear friend in hospital again, and we've prayed for this friend before and seen healing, and now something else has come up. You know, our own, you know, sister from this fellowship, Melanie's been in hospital, is at home resting now, and you know, we were praying for her last week, and we've seen some healing, and you know, but then there's more, and it can, you know, the battle can be hard. Ruth, I asked her if I could share this, so she said that's okay. We've had this battle for the last 5 years of an allergy that Ruth has, and you know, it gets discouraging. When these friends were up the other day, they prayed for Ruth, and you know, God met with Ruth really powerfully. It was really obvious, but her eyes, the allergies in her eyes were not healed, and so Ruth felt quite discouraged after that. And then, 2 days later, I had a call from this friend saying, "Oh, hey, I just wanted to let you know, how's Ruth going? And I'm still praying for her, and here's some verses that I think will encourage her." And I shared all that with Ruth, and she was really encouraged and lifted up to keep praying again. So we don't we don't give up. I could talk to you about my own journey with arthritis, which now has no power over me. In fact, I'm just kind of feeling it now. So this morning, and as I was preparing this talk, I was feeling the ache in my wrist where I used to feel it. This was some years ago now. And you know, it felt kind of ironic. You know, I'm preparing a sermon on healing and feeling this pain that is not meant to be there anymore. So I'm like, no, go away. And it wasn't until after communion and just now that it's gone. Praise the Lord. So healing can be warfare, can be the battle. Next slide, please. And this is where we hit the crux. The Matthew says, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. I think this really gets to the heart of why healing is so important and why we should take it seriously. So Matthew's quoting Isaiah 53:4. And if you look up Isaiah 53:4 in your Bibles, it quite probably translates it that he bore our griefs and sorrows rather than illnesses and diseases. And I find this pretty interesting because if you look at all the commentaries, they will put sickness and illness into Isaiah. But in our modern translations, we spiritualize it. I'm not speaking against the translations. I trust the translations. The translations are good, okay, just to be clear. But it does remind me of how we quite often spiritualize things. You know, we read these passages and we think it's, you know, something to do with our, you know, emotions and our feelings. And we forget that Jesus was actually here on earth and actually did heal people. And when the kingdom of God comes, it's quite earthy. It's based here in reality. It's not just an emotional or a spiritual reality. It's a physical reality too. But I think we sometimes lack faith, you know, that God will break into the physical realm for me. So Matthew picks up this more fuller sense of healing when he speaks of the suffering servant. That's the passage in Isaiah, the suffering servant. And we now know that was Jesus carrying all the weakness and pain of sickness, sin and sorrows. You could say that it really covers every kind of suffering, all the effects of the fall. You know, whether, you know, that could be physical sickness, it could be disease, it could be emotional trauma, mental illness, anxiety, and any number of other things. So let me just ask you a question just to consider as we press on. When you think about this verse, do you include your own suffering in what Jesus carried? Or do you disqualify yourself from that? Did Jesus carry your sickness? Now this phrase that Matthew uses, this was to fulfill, he uses that a number of times throughout the book. And he uses that phrase to prove that Jesus was the expected Messiah. It's his formula phrase. Now, if Jesus really was the Messiah, that means that the future perfect kingdom of God was at hand. Okay, this is end times language. We think of end times as being something in the future when Jesus comes back in glory, and that's true. However, when this stuff was written, they're writing about end times language. It's the expectation of the coming king. And they're saying, Jesus is it. The end times are here. So when we see Jesus healing, what we're actually seeing is the final kingdom of God at work. Now, Jesus didn't just tell people about the kingdom. He showed them what it looks like. Let me ask you, do people still need to see what the kingdom of God looks like? And for me, this settles the question of, is it God's will to heal? So let's step through this. Jesus represented the Father and only did what he saw the Father doing. Now, the promise of God is that in his kingdom, and now I'm going to quote from Revelation 21, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So that's God's promise. No more pain, no more death. Okay, so if healing is a manifestation of God's future kingdom, then yes, it is God's will to heal you. We know that because that's what he's going to do in the end. I think we really need to settle this if we're going to be able to pray for people with faith. If we have doubt in our minds that, oh, maybe this is not God's will, maybe he's got some learning for us in the pain, we're not going to pray with faith that God is going to heal. Getting that is not an automatic thing. This is where we need to practice. Start small. You know, maybe we don't start with cancer, we start with a headache. Doesn't matter. I mean, if God gives you grace to pray for cancer, go for it. Don't hold back. But practice. Pray for people to be healed. You know, and as we gain confidence in God's character, our faith will grow. And Scripture highlights God's will to heal. You can't find any example in the Bible of God saying, of someone coming to God for healing, and God saying, no, stay there, it'll be good for you. You cannot find that in the Bible. There's Scripture after Scripture after Scripture of how God brings or intends to bring health, prosperity, and blessing to his people. I love how God uses Scripture for all of this. I had an example a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you're going to put this in a healing category. It kind of is, I think. So a few weeks ago, I was chatting here at church to John and Katie, who were here for a couple of months, and I was telling John how I had some prayer recently, and I felt like my joy had come back that I hadn't felt for months and months. And guess what happened the next week? I felt this real heavy depression come over me. You know how when you testify to God's goodness and then the battle comes? It took me way too long. It took me about a week to kind of figure this out. And it was about a week later, I was doing some work at home and I was complaining to the Lord, actually. Like, God, I'm feeling this heaviness. What is this? And, I'm quite an analytical kind of person. So I was kind of analytically diagnosing it with the Lord. You know, God, have I sinned? Is there something, you know, I'm going to deal with? And I got a sense of, no, is it this, is it this? And eventually settled on, well, it's actually a bit of an attack. And I said, well, Lord, what do I do about this? And immediately that scripture from Isaiah just came to mind, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, funnily enough, at the time, I couldn't bring myself to do it. I kind of half-heartedly tried and it didn't really work. And I kind of forgot for an hour or so, and an hour later, I was just sitting on the couch and complaining to the Lord again. And he reminds, it just pops into my head again that, you know, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I'm like, oh, that's right, Lord, you did tell me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to really do it this time. And you know, just put on my favorite worship music and started worshiping. And the heaviness lifted. Like, wow, that wasn't that hard. But yeah, that God didn't want me to stay in that depression, in that heaviness. His will was for me to be enjoying him. But this idea of healing being a manifestation of the kingdom of God, it also explains why some people are not healed, right? We're not triumphalists. We believe it is God's will to heal, but we don't necessarily see that every single time. So the kingdom arrived in Jesus. It's here, but it's not yet been fully revealed. We call that the already and the not yet kingdom. It means that Jesus talked about the kingdom of God being upon you or at hand. So the kingdom is here already. But he also talked about the future coming of the kingdom. And both are true, and we hold those in tension. When we follow Jesus' example and pray for healing, we're praying for that future perfect kingdom of God to be breaking in with power into our present time. Now that's what Jesus told his disciples to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we don't control that. We can't make it happen on our own. But as we listen to the Father and see what he's doing, we can partner with him in releasing his kingdom here on earth. And if we sort of link back to where we started, that you know, Jesus healed in partnership with the Father, it also says that Jesus operated in the power of the Spirit. You know, he came back from the temptation in the wilderness in the power of the Spirit and then started the miracles. Well, that Spirit that Jesus came back in the power of is now poured out on us. Come, Holy Spirit. And he charged us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom means it's the words and the works of Jesus. People need to hear and see what the kingdom looks like. So let's just pull that all together. So Jesus healed by the power of the Spirit, not a superpower. We now have that same Spirit. Your healing can be a battle. So we need persistence. And healing is an expression of God's kingdom. And he now has commissioned us as agents of his kingdom to show and tell what that looks like. So will you go? Can I ask Holly and the team to come up? We're going to spend a little bit of time in worship, and then we might pray and see if God wants to heal some people.
Yeah, this next song is actually a prayer and almost an application of what we've just been talking about. I Speak Jesus is a prayer and almost a tool and a weapon and a template that we can use. It gives us the words to speak healing in the name of Jesus over situations, over people. So I encourage you to use it like that. It's not just singing words for the sake of it. Like, this is a prayer, this song. So if you'd like to stand as we sing this song, think about where you may need healing, where people you know need healing, and let's sing this song with that in mind.